Our speaker today probably does not need a lot of introduction to many of us. He's spoken before. It's such a privilege to have Dr. Don Davis with us today. Dr. Davis is Executive Vice President with World Impact. He is the Executive Director of the Urban Ministry Institute, which is a research and training institute that trains primarily people to go into the inner city or urban areas, prisons, and minister to promote the kingdom of God in that setting. Dr. Davis attended Wheaton College and Wheaton Graduate School, graduated summa cum laude with both his BA and MA degrees. He graduated from University of Iowa School of Religion with a degree in theology and ethics. In addition to his current duties as the Urban Ministry Institute's Executive Director and as a professor in its Hope School of Ministry, Dr. Davis also serves as Senior Vice President of World Impact. As such, he oversees the training of urban missionaries, church planters, city pastors, and facilitates training opportunities for urban Christian workers. Don has been married to his wife, Elizabeth, since 1975, a mere 3 years before we were married. And they are parents to three children. Their oldest son, Matthew David, went to be home with the Lord at age 26 in 2003. They have two other grown children, Joanne Davis McEglet and Daniel Davis. And Dr. Davis and his wife, Beth, are proud grandparents to, I believe it's four grandchildren. So join me in welcoming Dr. Don Davis.
You know, introductions are always kind of, they give the better side of yourself, if you know what I mean. It's like, I was just sitting there saying, boy, he could have said other things about me that wouldn't have been so flattering. Oh, it is good to be here on this fall. It's not fall yet, or is it fall? It is fall. Just last week I was in San Diego, Torrey Pines, U.S. Open, just perfect weather. I just think my Bible teaching is better in a place like Torrey Pines. So I'm sorry, you're going to get the cold Kansas version of my Bible teaching. Not too long ago, a friend sent me a card, and this was on the outside of the card. Sent me a card, and there was this fish in a bowl with glasses on. And on the inside of the card, it said, you know, I really like the way you see things. There's a friend who sort of liked that. And I want to talk about seeing. I just got brand new lenses, very expensive. They hide the overall expense of the first pair by giving you a second pair, which I never tend to wear, but I can't see anything. I am really desperately nearsighted. I remember going to my optometrist and I said, is there any correlation between genius and nearsightedness? He said, no, there's no correlation. You know. Shoot. But I am really nearsighted. I'm so nearsighted, I take extra pair everywhere I go. I mean, I'm really bad. I cannot see people. I mean, things are just, and so seeing is a primary metaphor in my life. That's what I want to share in our conference today. I've given my talks this view. I can see clearly now. I think we are 21st century disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. Because we are, we see things in a certain way. And seeing things in a certain way means that we process life differently than most. I don't know if you guys remember the popular song in the 60s and the 70s by Johnny Nash, I can see clearly now the rain must, you know, that immediately dates you if you know that song. You know, if you can sing that song, you're part of the greatest generation of Americans. I don't know if that's true, but I remember the song because it, you know, he had a wonderful voice. I can see all the obstacles in my way. It's like he had a breakthrough. It's like his mind opened up. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sun-shining day. I love that song. I want us to talk about seeing things clearly. And for us as disciples of Jesus, we have to see him. Dear friends, I tell my students all the time, there are two worlds. There's the real world that we're in now at Eastminster in their gym here, starting our conference off. And then there is, in fact, the really real world. The world that you can't see, the world that gave birth to this one, the world that God actually defines. He's the source of this world, and all the beings in this world come from a different space. Dear friends, what we see is not everything that is here. Let me move this. I'm going to talk about what it means to see Christ. Honestly, that's the whole thing. If you want to know what I'm going to say in every session, we need to see Christ. The more we can see him, the more we can understand him, and the more we understand him, the more we can serve him and honor him and glorify him. Life at its very basic, is extraordinarily easy and simple. It's profound, but it is simple. Since we have come to know Jesus of Nazareth, the living Lord who is alive forevermore, we know now what life is about. I can see clearly now what the meaning of life is, what it means to live, what it means to do ministry, what it means to be married, sex and government and power and politics and all of that. I have a better picture of now because I know who he is. And I will argue that if you don't see him, you don't really see clearly at all. This is very easy. It's so easy. All the theology I ever needed, I got in Vacation Bible School. I love Vacation Bible School. Everything is color coordinated. Thank you very much. And big figures, usually cheery animals. You know, if it's a dinosaur, it's going to be cheery, right? Yes, Don, it is. It's good. I'm sort of accustomed to people talking back to me. I won't hold this against you. I'm a black fellow. And we probably grew up different, right? Amen, we did, yes. We grew up different. So I am going to give you an opportunity to be an honorary black dude or sister this meeting, which means we simply are, we relax, we talk to each other. You can talk to the person speaking. If there's somebody speaking what I'm going to say, I'd say, make it plain, boy. Go ahead. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, I don't expect y'all to say that. I know that's coming out of yourself a little bit. But I want you to get really clear that for us to live is Christ. Christ is not a method. Christ is not a program. Christ is not a part of a ministry. You don't control him. He's Lord. He's like Aslan of C.S. Lewis's great literature body. He cannot be domesticated. He's wild and ferocious and alive forevermore. And soon he will crack the sky and set up a new order. And we will live forever, shining like stars in a kingdom that is completely from him. I can see that now. That's who I am. I'm more than just being a black dude. I'm more than just being a Wichita or an American. That's not enough. I love my wife and children, but that's not enough. I'm more than that. You need to look again. The word respect comes from two words in the Latin. It literally, if you were just breaking the word respect up in its Latin roots, it means to look again. When you respect something, you don't look at it the first time and make up your mind. You look at it again. You look at it the second time and the 22nd time. And the 102nd time. When you understand who he is, it will change you. Christ is not a program. You don't apply him. You don't meet him on your terms in your quiet time. He's the Lord, shining in glory at the right Father's right hand. He is coming back. We know him by faith. To learn him to see clearly is what I want to talk about. I'm going to start every session with a song that we produce at Tumi Productions. The name of this song is For Me to Live as Christ. Let's just worship together as we listen to this simple song. You'll see why I think we should listen to it as we go forward. This was Paul's word when he was in prison to his friends at Philippi, Roman colony. Most think he was in the prison at Caesarea Philippi. He said, all the things that I have sought up to this point, none of those things matter now. I count them as rubbish, dung, in order that I can win Christ. For me to live, he said, is Christ, and to die is gain. To be a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth is to make Christ your life. That's what I want to talk about. What does it mean to have Christ as our life? To keep the main thing the main thing. Now, I think this is a matter of perspective. I don't know if you guys remember Walt Hendrickson wrote his wonderful book that I teethed on as an emerging disciple. Disciples are made, not born. Is that right? He said that the only two things you can give another person when you disciple them is perspective and conviction. He said outside of being an example, outside of, you know, showing them through your own example and through your prayer and your exhortation, the only thing that you can offer another person as you are helping them grow to maturity in Christ is a sense of perspective and a disposition of conviction. To be a disciple is to see things a certain way and to believe things in a certain way. I'll give you cues, like signals, like signals. To really be a disciple is to have a different perspective on things. It's the way we see things. That's what makes us disciples of Jesus. Dear friends, we live in a dangerous time, in a post-truth era. This is a time of major distractions. I don't know how we keep the main thing these days. And this sort of scatteredness, this sort of fragmentedness, this sort of lostness has leaked into our churches. Frankly, we just think of the things that compete for your attention, the things that have taken place in the world these days, the noise that wants to sort of shut out the main thing, the critical thing. Just think of the effect of COVID. It's pretty amazing that we're meeting here. You know, thank God. You know, with all the things that they have gone through, I know some of our dear friends who actually COVID took. We have had countless conversations about masks and vaccines. It's had huge economic impact. All of us have been affected by that. There can be no question that just the overall impact of the last 2 years has settled on the churches, our local churches, in a sort of wearisome way. Add to that the political upheaval. During my lifetime, I've never seen our country more divided. We are divided in every way, on race, on color politics. We don't agree on anything anymore. And it's beginning to really chew at the very foundations of who we are. There are red states and blue states, and everyone is vying for power and jockeying for things. And all of their conversations and weird discourses are hitting us on every media outlook we can find. We're just completely overloaded with all these messages, thousands of them every day. If you have a cell phone, then yes, they've tracked you down. That means that you have it. You go to Facebook, you go to anything. You look at television, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere present. All the media sites, all of them, with all of their messaging, is just bombarding us with all of these contradictory, false, odd claims. And this has brought a huge level of stress and a sense of being overwhelmed at every person's level. Just everyone is sort of overwhelmed. No one can take the stress of constant arguments and claims and ideas that are just wearing us out. Even in the midst of this toxic and crazy stew, we still believe in Christ. We're Christians. It means that we're not, guys, this is really important, we are not susceptible to that in the final sense. We know Christ. He lives in us. We have a hope. We have never given in to any of that. We are not bound to that. We are in the world, but not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. Dear friends, I love what Paul could say to the Corinthians. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Or as one of my favorite translations says, we live by what we believe, not by what we see. We live by what we believe. During times like this, Christians need to be reminded, what do you believe? What in your heart do you believe? What in your heart do you believe about the future, about destiny, about life? What do you believe? Our beliefs are the North Star in our sky. That's how we navigate in a dark, foggy place. Dear friends, the story of Christ becomes a lens through which we see everything. This is why discipling is so important. We disciple people so they can know the truth, and the truth can set them free. Is that right? John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at the logic of our Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's truth. Truth is always primary. Truth is always primary. You will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Dear friends, your mind is the gateway to everything in your life. Most of the times we think that where we live is the key to how we feel. That's not true. How is it that certain people can live in the most horrible situations and their spirits are buoyant, they're filled with life, they know who they are, to whom they belong, where they are going, and they are happy every day. They're content in everything. They can do all things through him who strengthens them. And yet there are others who live in everything that they have. They need, all their needs are met, and they're miserable every day. What's the difference? The difference is not where you are. It's how you see. If you want to affect my life, help me see better. Help me see better. Help me to see clearer. Help me to understand how things are. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Look, dear friends, I want to thank our dear hosts of this event. They actually gave me 45 minutes, which I can't tie my shoes in 45 minutes. But I'm going to be culturally sensitive and relevant. I'm going to fit into the flow of our meeting here at Eastminster, doing my part for black unity in the world. Dear friends, look, this is my thesis if you fail to get it. We can cope with and overcome today's confusion, noise, and distraction by focusing on Christ, who is our life. This is the point. Dear friends, this may not seem radical to you. This is the most radical of all. All we need is right before us. Simple, elegant, true, exquisite. We can overcome all this noise and all this distraction. We can get our families and ministries and jobs and vocations in order. The one simple requisite is that we must focus on Christ, who is our life. So what we're going to do is look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I just want to look at that text. I'll speak around it. But that's what we're going to do. I'm going to exegete that text. Then I'm going to explain the theme around this great scripture. And then I'll talk about one of the takeaways that you, by the way, will be able to discuss in our breakouts after this. And this is the way we'll handle this in every one of our meetings. I'll sort of exegete a text, give you the principle, and then you'll be able to think about the meaning of that principle in that text in your discussion together. Let's begin by explaining Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I've entitled the first two verses, Seek the Things That Are Above. If you understand the context of Colossians, you get that Paul, in this brief letter to the Colossians, he's in prison. He knows that they're sort of being infested with those who are bringing in Gnostic heresies. Things are not clear. There are people from the outside coming in with human philosophies and elementary traditions about the law, about idolatrous practices, and other things, and he is warning them against that. He essentially says, if you come to Christ as you have received him, so walk in him. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This book is one of the most important because the focus in this book is on the absolute sufficiency and supremacy of Jesus of Nazareth. Once I found Christ, guys, I quit looking. I'm done looking. I got everything I need now. I understand the meaning of God, of life, of people, of the world, of history, of the future, of destiny. I've got it all now. I don't need anything else. I interpret other stuff in light of the story of Christ, not the other way around. I know who he is. I know what we're about. Dear friends, if I like what C.S. Lewis said in his wonderful little book, God of the Dock. He said, if you could see yourself now for what you're going to be, you would frighten the Pewaddens out of yourself. Dear friends, do you know who you are? Do you know that 80,000 centuries from now, you're going to be alive? You're going to shine like a star in a kingdom so beautiful, a city as big as the moon, built by the carpenter himself. Do you know what you are a part of? How you are going to be? What life is about? Once you get this, there's no going back from this. I'll say my own amens. Yes, Don, say that again, boy. Dear friends, we are something. This is unusual. We're a part of him. He's trying to help them understand that. Know who you are. Therefore, you can know how to live and what to do. Seek the things that are above. He says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is how he begins this one little passage. If you've been raised with Christ, which is the basic argument of the whole book, you've been united to Christ. What happened to Christ has happened to you. Christ is my older brother. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to live forever with the Lord. I can't wait to see the Lord. We were talking, some of us, before our meeting started. I don't know if I'm going to get a ticket when it's time for me to see the Lord. I'll get my ticket, like 4,568,333,001. I'm going to have my ticket. I'm going to wait 25 years. But do you know one day I'm going to see the Nazarene myself? I'm going to see him myself and kiss him on his neck. Tell him what he meant to me. I know who I am. I know where I'm going and what I'm about. I don't need a new idea or philosophy. I belong to him. He says, set your mind on the things above. This isn't just fluff and religious stuff. This isn't stuff for quiet times and weird sort of over religious zealots. He wrote this to the church. Little kids, teenagers, grandmas, seniors, everyone, set your minds on things above because you are united to him. That's where your real life is. Now, this is really important, guys. This is really important. We've been united to him. It means because we are one with him, now our life is now in him. We seek the things that are above where Christ is. We set our minds on the things above. That's what he exhorts us to do, not on things on the earth. Dear friends, Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and Master, the Savior, his story defines and completely animates our lives now. We are his disciples. I don't want to talk about programs and methods and things like that. Jesus of Nazareth is alive. That's the basic Christian claim. The same one who walked the earth, who didn't go 150 miles from where he was, who lived in total anonymity for 18 years. We only have one birth narrative, one adolescent story, 18 years of nothing. And then virtually all the Gospels are on 4 days of his life. Did you know that? The Gospels are not an autobiography. One birth story, one story as a teenager, nothing for 18 years. living in Nazareth, and then the Spirit gives us all this time on 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Why? Because that part of his life is the key to all of our lives. Because he went through those 4 days, I have hope as a guy who met him when I was slinging dope, so crazed and stupid, wasting my life and my time, no idea of what it meant. And now through faith in him, I've become his agent. I've never seen him, but I am his ambassador. I serve him alone. I'm a part of his family. He is our life. Dear friends, the church for 18 centuries has told this over and over and over in its liturgy, in its theology, in its spiritual formation. Dear friends, I'm a member of the one true church. Every clan and people, look, I don't care if they're swinging incense in a cold chapel in Kiev, Russia, or carrying a boombox on the south side of Chicago. If you honor Christ, you belong to me. Let me say that again. Heaven is not going to be like us here today. I went to graduate school at the University of Iowa School of Religion. We found a good church. It was 99% white. We had a little zoo-looking family. My wife is white. My children are tan, or less tan, more tan. You know, I mean, we're like a little, and we stood out like raisins in a rice bowl in this church. You know, I mean, we're just there. And my little daughter came to me and said, "Daddy, is heaven going to be like church?" And I said, "No, honey, it's not. Yes and no. It's going to be like that because there are fine white believers in our church. Fine. But it's going to be a whole lot more different. Clans, guys, every people who have belonged to him of every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation, all of us together, one of us clinging to the same Nazarene, the same story, living dead and yet unborn. This story animates our lives wherever you find us. One story for all of us. One master for all of us. This is the Christian story. This is what it means to be a Christian. It's to embrace this story in such a way that you understand it. We're coming into my favorite season, Advent. By the way, I didn't mention. You see these words here? Let's see if I see this. This is written by a saint who wrote in the 5th century. This is the nicest summary of the Christian story that I've ever seen. What has been believed everywhere, always, and by all of us. This is the quote in Latin. Essentially, Vincent of Lorenz said that Christianity is built on what has been believed by all Christians everywhere from the beginning. And that has never changed, dear friend. The absolute bottom line, the promise of his coming, the fact that he was born of a virgin, conceived of the Spirit, that Magi from modern-day Iraq came and saw him, and the church acknowledges this in Epiphany, the master of Israel's glory and the light of the world. Yes, and then we think of Lent, quite literally, the lowly Son of God going to Calvary, and then those great 3 days, the church calls it, when Christ became the Passover for all humankind. He was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven, and 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit down. And he has been in heaven as Lord, the reigning King of the church, the oldest Christian icon that we have, a lamb who is also a bishop, a lamb who is also in control, a lamb who is king too. I love that picture. Our Lord is the Lamb who was slain from the beginning, and yet he is Lord Almighty. We testify him among the nations. We cry in two Greek little words, Maranatha, our Lord come. And then we wait, and we just celebrated All Saints Day and the reign of Christ the King. Jesus Christ will reign as King forever. And this basic story in liturgy, in lectionary, in preaching. The church has been a part of this story We've told it tens of thousands of times. Dear friends, by the way, if you want to follow us, you can track us. We tell this story every day at TumiAnnual.com for the people that we serve. Look, you need to understand I'm about one thing. I'm not about a lot of things. I'm only interested in a single story. To disciple somebody for you to make me a better Christian is to help me understand the story, to conform to the story, to rehearse and embody this story. To train me as a disciple is to help me understand the Lord of that story and to make that story a part of my life. For that story to become the lens through which I understand money and race and power and politics. This is the story of the world made available to us. Dear friends, when we focus on Christ, and the church has done this year after year after year after year, the church put it on a cycle. Every single year, they tell this story over and over, his coming, his birth, his manifestation, his suffering and death, his ministry, his resurrection, his ascension, the coming Holy Spirit, and then his return. And then we start it again, and we just tell it over and over and over. Dear friends, what this says is that our union with Christ, Paul said, since you have died with him, therefore set your mind on him. I don't have time in 45 minutes to give you the full theological weight of Paul's thing. But dear friends, and by the way, this material I make available to you, you will be able to have this PowerPoint we'll give it to you, Dennis, and you can distribute it to everyone. So you'll have everything. Dear friends, if you look at the Bible is amazing. Everything that happened to Christ happened to you. You're made one with him. You were baptized into him, Paul can say. You died with him. You were buried with him. You were raised with him. You ascended with him, which is a mystery, right? But the Bible says you've actually ascended with him. We actually sit with him in heavenly places. Now, how does that work? I live by what I believe. Not by what I see. I live by what I believe. We sit with him. We suffer with him. And if we do, we'll be glorified with him. We're going to be resurrected in him. We will see him as he is. We're going to be made just like him. Amazingly, the Bible says I'm a joint heir with him. And I am going to rule forever with him. All of these things are in the New Testament. Paul said, because you've been made one with him now, because you are one with him, set your mind on things above. You belong to him. Everything that happened to him has now happened to you. Therefore, embrace that. Make his story your own story. Literally, the Greek is be clothed with Christ. The Greek is literally, I put on my shirt. Thank you. I know it looks good. I got one comment. Thank you, Dana. Look, I'm saying in the same way you put on your blouse this morning, the New Testament says put on Christ. Dear friends, what happened to him is going to happen to you. You're going to literally rule with him because you've been linked to him. This is not just some story you'll forget about. This is infinitely more than your bank account and your job and your family and where you live. How is it that there are Christians who are more concerned about rattling gutters on their house than people in the gutter? You know why? Because they've forgotten who they are. You don't know. You think that 80 years down here with the wife or husband of your dreams, a few great kids, a wonderful retirement plan with a timeshare in the Smokies, plenty of travel time and a death where you don't even hurt and you kiss everybody in the room who loves you, and then you ease into eternity. All things fade to white, and everything is fine. And we act like that's what life is about. No, it's not. No, it's not. Dear friends, what is 80 years compared to a Googleplex of years? You know what I did, my friend Daniel Hennings over there, to make a point with the students at TUMI? I said, print a sheet that has a million zeros on it. A million, a Googleplex of zeros. And the printer just, it printed it. Took it hours and hours and hours. When you pick the piece of paper up, it just looked gray. It was just gray, but if you saw, there were zeros. Dear friends, a Googleplex of centuries from now, you're going to be alive. Do you understand who you are? You're going to change what you do. Give that up for a nice home, for something here. That's who you are. Many of us have forgotten who we are. Maybe you never knew who you were. Maybe you think that Christianity is a topping off religion for a nice American experience. It's like the cherry on top of good Americana. No, it's not. Dear friends, we don't belong here. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him. Dear friends, this is really important. Who he was in the world, this is who we are. Now, we've died. I better be careful. I'm losing my time. Time is the enemy of black preaching. And I have my sword out this morning. Shift your life vision. Shift it. Shift it. We live by what we see, not by what we feel, how things are going. Does it matter where I work? Sure, I want to honor Christ at my work, but all work is honorable. I could live anywhere with my wife. Everywhere we've ever lived, we've kept our boxes. If we had a crest, one of the quadrants is going to be a tent because we don't belong here. I don't belong here. There's nothing here I want. I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of the way it treats the poor and the broken. I hate it. I can't stand it. I want to leave it. I don't belong here. I'm an alien and a stranger. This ain't my home. It's the way I feel about it. Dear friends, if you know who Christ is and who you are, you need a new vision to make you a little more radical, right? We can use our nice things. I'm not against nice things. Please give me nice things as a result of my teaching today. But dear friends, my life in the nice things, whether I have them or not, that doesn't change who I am. I'm not the clothes I wear or the stuff I've got. I'm not the house or the car that I own or the job I have. Dear friends, my dad, Theodore Roosevelt Davis, served in World War II. He came back after World War. One of the few pictures I have of him is an infantryman in Rome, part of a black unit there. He came back, he couldn't participate in the GI Bill. He was black, couldn't own his own business, couldn't vote. He died the year that Lyndon Johnson wrote the Voting Rights Act of 1965, never voted. Do you think that's who my dad was? Do you have any idea? My dad, I'll tell you when my dad was most a Davis. When he was walking up the aisle at AME Church with his robe on, the one place on earth where his humanity was acknowledged was his church. He knew who he was, guys. He knew who he was. He lived in this world, but he wasn't nothing. I fear that many of us are in this world and we're trying to be the best of it. Dear friends, Christ is our very life, and when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. Look, I apologize for being so excited, but I love these things. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, Paul said. The weak in the world to shame the strong. He chose the low and despised, even the things that are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in his presence. And you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that let anyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. Dear friend, this theme that our lives are in Christ and that he is everything, it's the key. It's the key to discipleship. It's the key to training. It's the key to ministry. It's the key to family. It's the key to business. We who have been united to Christ have made him our life, and every Christ follower on earth now belongs to him. We have to see and experience and respond to things as they relate to him, because every one of us now is a member of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This is the greatest membership that I have. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, my God. I'm going to come in with flair. I'm going to dance on the streets of gold with flair. I know who I am. I'm not lying. I live by faith, not by sight. I don't belong here. And if it's time for me to go, I'm ready. I'm ready. Y'all can have it. Thank you very much. There's not Greek and Jew in our company, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, Republican, Democrat, black or white. Put your own adjectives in it. In the church, none of those things matter. Christ is all and in all. Dear friends, John Stott wrote a nice little book that I would, if you can find it, it's worth its weight in gold. It's called Focus on Christ, the great London rector. He wrote this book. What he did is he took the prepositions related to Christ in the New Testament, and he did a chapter on each one of the prepositions. For instance, through Christ, he is our mediator. On Christ, we build our lives. He is our foundation. In Christ, he's our source and life giver. We submit ourselves under Christ, who is our Lord. And we, amazingly, we are going to live forever with Christ, who is our seeker. We do all that we do unto Christ, our goal. We because he is our lover, we live for him. And because he is our pattern, we seek to emulate our lives to become more like him. I would add two chapters, if I could, to John Stott's book. One would be by Christ. Everything that I have in Christianity, I got through him, by him. He did it. None of the spirituality. That's, by the way, happy Reformation Day. Those of us who celebrated. How many celebrated Reformation Day last week? Three lone souls. There's going to be a special meeting with us who celebrated that of the enlightened and the privileged. We'll meet right outside to the right. No, look, guys, this is Reformation Week and All Saints Week. If you're not a liturgical guy, I call myself a black Anglican. I grew up AME, the Church of Letters, African Methodist Episcopal. It was essentially a black Anglicanism. Richard Allen, who was in a prayer meeting at St. George's in the late 18th century, was thrown out on his ear because he was black preaching in a Methodist white church. And through that, he actually formed a new denomination. That's how our denomination started. Black Anglicans who couldn't worship in a white Anglican church. Black Anglican. Sounds like a Marvel Hebrew movie. Look, I don't take myself seriously. Look, behind Christ, he is our shepherd. Guys, don't you see the scripture shouting at you? Your life is rooted in Christ, not in yourself, not in your family, not in your job. It's not your retirement. It's not you. It's never been you. You've got to learn that. That's what discipleship is. It's making that shift from self to Christ. Now, dear friends, we know this, and you're navigators, so I know you know this verse. I mean, how can you be a navigator? Look, we should tie you to a bumper and drag you around the parking lot if you don't know this verse. Look, you're laughing because you say, yeah, that makes sense, Don. I understand that. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You remember when Christ said, abide in me, unless the branch of, it can't bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. It must dwell and live in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, she it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can have no fruit. You can bear none at all. All the life, the source of health, is in Christ. So my life now that I'm a Christian is focused on Christ. That's what it is. That's who I am. That's how I live. That's how I pray. That's how I evaluate my time and my money. And my apart from him, we can do nothing. He alone provides us with life. Let me close. I'm right on the edge of being delinquent. We can cope with Dear friends, we can cope with and overcome today's confusion and noise by focusing on Christ. So take this away with you, guys. The first thing, you need to keep the main thing the main thing. You need to relate who you are and what you do to the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, he's Lord, which means he's a little different. You've never related to a king. He's not like you. You recall what Jesus said. You're going to have to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Dear friends, all the areas of your life, your time and money and family and all of these important things that we are interested in and talk about a lot, all those things are important, but they don't mean anything if we don't anchor those things in Christ. This is the key. I like when Marcel Proust, the great thinker, said, great author, he said, the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes. It's not where I'm at. It's how I see where I'm at. Having new eyes. For this momentary light affliction that we're going through now is not worthy to be compared to what we're going to go through. We just need a new lens. Let me again, guys, say you can shut the sun out with a dime. I'll close with this. Guys, you know the sun. I love astronomy. I do. There's something about the heavens that just gives me a sense of my place. You know, you can take the sun 93 million miles away from the earth, literally as a snowball. Let me put it this way. As a snowball is to the earth, so the earth is to the sun. If you want to know how big the dimensions of things, like a snowball is to the earth is to the sun. The earth is massive. Trillions of hydrogen explosions going off at the same time. So delicate, though, at the right angle of our orbit, it can hit us and we can go outside this morning. Beautiful morning. But you can take a dime of your concern and block the sun out if you bring it too close to yourself. You can take the dime of your own concern and blot out the sun of who Christ is if your perspective is not right. Dear friends, I love astronomy. When Voyager, the great thing that was sent to explore the solar system, was shot from the Earth some years ago, it literally took pictures of the Earth underneath the rings of Saturn and radio beamed the photo back. You see the Earth here? This is the Earth in our solar system from Saturn, just so you don't see it. Every single thing that has ever been done, all the armies that have fought, all the people who have lived, everything that has ever happened, happened on that blue dot. Dear friends, you're a molecule on a blue dot. Don't think too much of yourself. Get your life in perspective. Understand who you really are and who you've been linked to. Embrace the story that's bigger than you. Don't try to smush Christ into the thimble of your little vision. Release yourself. Let Christ be your anchor in your heart. Dear friends, he will keep in perfect peace those who are in him. I'm sorry, I went a little bit. I can make up my time, Dennis. I want to be obedient. I am obedient, Dennis. I am. But I will make sure that I will do right by us in the other sessions. I want to be in the right spirit of this. Dear friends, I've talked a lot about one thing. Christ must be your life. Let's begin our discussion of discipleship and all of that with him at the center, with no rivals, nothing else but him. We do that, then God can use us in a magnificent way. Pray with me, would you? Father, in the name of the Nazarene who lives forever at your right hand, give us new eyes that we can see clearly now who he is, what he's given, what he's about, and how we then should live. Lord, forgive us for being so distracted. Forgive us, Lord, for making our own little petty things the meaning of life. Give us a new spirit that we can see you as you are and serve you as we should. For the sake of the Nazarene, I pray. Amen. Yeah.